Again, if you don't know who I am, my name's Nicholas, and I have the privilege and honor of preaching today, and I've been able to preach through this sermon series about discipleship. For those of you who've been around for a little while, before this month, Pastor Brian was teaching through a series on gospel basics, is what it was called. Just taking a look at what is the gospel, taking a look at the message of salvation through Jesus Christ and what the Bible teaches about it, and having just a clear and firm footing on the gospel. And in his final sermon before they went on sabbatical, Brian led us to this passage, this verse in Philippians 1:27 that says this: "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel." Let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Isn't that what we want to do? Isn't that the church, the kind of church we want to be, the kind of person we want to be? And so we've been just meditating on this idea and the Great Commission of Jesus Christ. Of course, when we think, let our manner of life be worthy of the gospel, one of the things that first comes to mind, of course, is the Great Commission. Jesus in Matthew 28:18-20 says this: "And Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" That's what we want to do. We want to answer that call. And so, following this gospel basic series, I have been talking the last 3 weeks about discipleship, what it is to be a disciple of Jesus. We began with Matthew 11:28-30, and Jesus invites us. Well, you'll see if you fall into this category in a minute, but I think we could safely say all of us. He invites us to follow him. He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. My yoke is easy, my burden is light." What does it mean to follow Jesus? And for those of you who are confused why Jesus just started talking about egg yolks in the middle of that beautiful invitation, what that actually means, we went over in the first century, Jewish rabbis or teachers would have what they would call a yoke, a way of life, a list, essentially, of what is most important to be righteous, to live a holy and righteous life. That was their goal. And so they came up with, okay, what would perfectly honoring God with your life look like? And that was the yoke of that rabbi or teacher, right? And so Jesus invites us to a new kind of burden, a new kind of yoke, a new kind of righteousness. He invites us to come to him when we're weary and burdened. He says he is gentle and lowly in heart, that he has a yoke for us to carry, but it is unlike anything else. And so we want to be people that come to Jesus all the time. And so that first week, we talked about discipleship. How do we follow Jesus daily? How do we pursue him, seek him, follow after his footsteps, not just be people who are lukewarm in our faith, just go through the motions? We don't want to be like that. We don't want to you know, do our own thing. And like, you know, if someone comes and tells me something good or that's great, but no, I want to be following Jesus. I want to follow his footsteps. I want to go where he is. I want to be a part of what he is doing here in our church. I want to be a part of what he is doing in our community. I want to follow Jesus. What does it look like to take initiative in our walk with Christ daily as individuals? Last week, we talked about what does it mean to be the church? Not just individuals following Jesus, but a body. God's design for his people was to be in community, local bodies of believers. And that word body is intentional, that every single part has a purpose and the body is not complete unless every person is doing what God has called them to do. And that's individual to each person. But the body needs each individual member, and each individual member needs the body in order to function, in order to flourish. So over the last 2 weeks, we've talked about following Jesus as individuals, coming together as the body of Christ. And today we're going to be talking about joining the Great Commission. We've been called and equipped in the church. Well, it's how do we go and make disciples? I want to frame all of this stuff before we continue, okay? Discipleship. Jesus invites us into this beautiful walk with him. It's his burden. It's his yoke that he carries with us. But when it is so easy to fall into the trap as people of thinking that it is on us only by our strength, our ability, it's something we need to add to the weight on our shoulders to charge forward with. And there is a truth to the reality that we as Christians have to pick up our cross daily and follow Jesus. There is a truth to that. And there is a cost to following Jesus. But discipleship does not begin with our trying, our effort. It begins with our trusting in who God is and the finished work of Christ on the cross on our behalf. That is where it begins. It is finished. Begins with the freedom that we have in Christ. It begins with what is stamped on our souls when we put our faith in Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us we are holy because of Jesus, not because of our own works. No righteousness by our own doing, but the righteousness of Christ through faith. We're holy, righteous, redeemed, adopted as sons and daughters of God. Made right with him and indwelt with the Holy Spirit, who's the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. What is stamped true about you is that there's no need for striving to meet a minimum to be accepted by God, your Father. There's no minimum you need to meet to be good enough for God's family. And we need to trust. We need to begin with trusting what Christ has accomplished. Because if we get that wrong, like Brian said, if we get that wrong, we turn the gospel of Jesus, good news, a proclamation of what has been done, we turn that into a list of things to think, and we turn that into good advice that we get to implement into the other good advice that we heard on the podcast we listened to or something someone told us recently. And then, okay, yep, good advice. I'm going to bring that on. And yes, I'm going to keep charging forward in my own strength. No. If we get this wrong and think that our position as disciples of God, as of Jesus, our position as sons and daughters who are fully loved by God, our Father, is dependent on our trying, our actions, what we accomplish, what we produce, we are going to fall flat on our face in following Jesus. And this is something that I've mentioned kind of at the beginning of each message, discipleship. When I hear that word so many times in my life, I hear, I'm not reading the Bible enough. I'm not praying enough. I'm not doing this enough. I'm not mentoring people well enough. I'm not pursuing someone who's older in the faith than me well enough. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. That's what I hear, if I'm honest, sometimes. And when I hear about God's design for the body of Christ, for me to play my part and to rely on everyone else playing their part, well, that means coming to church every Sunday. That means getting involved in a Bible study. That means not just like sneaking out after church service, but sticking around and going to fellowship hall, or getting here early, going to fellowship hall, or sticking around in the foyer, having conversations and getting real and honest, joining a Bible study, showing up, getting real with people, being honest. That's hard to do. We are busy people, especially families with kids and sports. It is crazy. And to add something else, when I think of God's design for the local church and how I want to see that realized in my life, I often hear, oh, like, man, I need to be doing more. And today we're going to talk about the Great Commission. We're going to talk about going, being God's people, preaching and proclaiming the good news about Jesus. A bunch of things come up in my mind for that as well. Like, man, I think of the people that I've encountered that I didn't share the gospel with, and maybe I could have, and like, man, that like they might never hear the gospel because I didn't do it that time because I didn't share the gospel. I think of the people in my life who, I don't know, I've been a bad example of Jesus too. But in all of this, in our good pursuit of discipleship, wanting to do those things, read our Bible more, pray more, XYZ, wanting to be a part of the local church in a full and rich way that God wants for us, and wanting to be the kind of people who go and strive side by side for the faith of the gospel, who go and make disciples, we need to be resting in Christ, rooted in Him. We need to be trusting in the finished work of Christ, knowing that our freedom is not dependent on our actions. Our freedom in Christ is not dependent on how well we're doing with these things. But we are known and loved by our God before it all. In fact, while we were still His enemy, He died for us. How much more does He love you that you're His son or daughter? We want to start there. And yet, we now have this invitation, this beautiful, beautiful purpose to go and live it out in the freedom we have in Christ. If you fall flat on your face tomorrow, you can get right back up. I love that proverb that says a righteous man falls 7 times and gets back up. That's just a clear Hebrew idiom for every single day. The righteous man falls and gets back up. And we are met when we do with the gracious arms of our Father, who has separated our sins from as far as the east is from the west from us. So as we talk about going and doing and living out the good works that God has prepared for us to do, let us just, can I get it? One big breath. God is good all the time, and His steadfast love endures forever. Thank you, Lord. And now, let's get into it. We're going to talk about evangelism. We're going to talk about fulfilling the Great Commission. Just to start, this is just the start of a conversation. or might meet you in wherever you're at in this process of being a disciple, of being a member of a local church, and going and being on mission for the kingdom of God. Wherever you're at in your journey with this, we're going to meet here. First thing we need to be aware of is there is a deep and real need for the church to answer this call. People need Jesus. There's brokenness and evil all around us. There is incredible hopelessness, anxiety and depression and loneliness at an all-time high in our country and in our state and in our community. And there is a world of people who have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. And Jesus teaches, for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But immediately after, he reminds us of this grave, grave reality. Those who do not believe are condemned. There is a world not only of people experiencing the hurt and brokenness that happens in the kingdom of darkness, but there's a world of people who will spend an eternity separated from Christ. And they need to call on the name of the Lord. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15 say this: for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is, of course, in truth, not just saying the magic words, but to have put your faith in the gospel. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And he continues in verses 14 through 15. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. God is sovereign, and each person is accountable to him. And it is not our responsibility to make people believe the gospel. But it is our responsibility to answer the call that we are sent. It is our responsibility to be faithful in what God asks us to do and preach the good news so that they might hear, so that they might believe and call on the name of Jesus. That is the design that God has orchestrated as a primary role of the church, as a primary role of every single person who follows Jesus. You are sent. So how do we do this? Well, we're going to talk about a couple aspects of that. The solution is the church on mission. The solution is the church answering the call of the Great Commission. One thing I want to note, while there are key moments in the reality and process of evangelism, evangelism itself is not a moment of time. It is not an act necessarily that you do one time. It is a process. There are people called to go out into the street and proclaim the good news to strangers. There are people who are called to go to the other end of the world and proclaim the good news to people who don't even speak their language, in however beautiful and creative ways that God orchestrates to give them an opening to do so. That's amazing. That's awesome. And if there's someone in this room that's like, man, there's someone in my life right now that I need to preach the gospel to today, I want you to listen to that voice. I want you to listen to that call. But for the most part, evangelism is a process that just flows from us doing life as followers of Jesus, going out into the world, building relationships, and being the light of Christ in our families, our workplaces, our neighborhoods, our community, wherever we go. I think it's helpful to think about people kind of on a spectrum, and don't get too into this. And if you're like, by the end of this, I'm further along on the spectrum than you are, you've missed the point, okay? But think about it in this way. Think about, like, on a scale of, let's just say 1 to 10. 10 is following Jesus. 10 is the moment someone put their faith in Jesus. Everyone who has not put their faith in Jesus is somewhere on that spectrum. They might be a 1, and they absolutely are the last person you think would ever put their faith in Jesus. And then there's people who, you know, like, they've had a good relationship with the church, but in their mind, they're like, well, I believe in church, and I think the Bible is cool, but, like, I don't know if I'm a good enough person to go to heaven. That's a great place to be, where you can come alongside and say, did you know that that's not what it's about? It's about receiving the free gift that's already been accomplished for you, the gospel of grace, salvation by the grace of God through faith, not of our own works, that no one may boast. And that person might go from a 9 to a 10 and put their faith in Jesus like that. You're like, well, I believe all this, but I know that I'm a sinner, and so I don't think I'm going to heaven because I'm a sinner. That's awesome. But there's other people all along that spectrum. And so, for the most part, our job is to have little touch points with people to represent Christ, be bold and have real conversation when the opportunities arise, to bring people from maybe just 5 to 6, another step in their journey towards Christ. 1 in 1,000 people respond to the gospel from strangers, like street preachers. About 1 in 1,000 people will come to faith in those conversations. About 1 in 50 respond when the gospel is shared through a personal relationship. And the closer we know that person, the more we walk alongside them, the more we're involved in their life and they see Christ involved in our life, the more success people have. So evangelism is not a moment or a particular act necessarily. It is a process. I also want to highlight, it is not your responsibility to save people. Christ saves by what he's done on the cross. And God draws people to himself and is working in the power of the Holy Spirit in their hearts and minds, drawing them to himself. The Holy Spirit is the primary agent in the work of evangelism. No effort put forth by human ability could produce the salvation that is so needed by the people that we love and care about. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit in their life behind the scenes, and the work of the Holy Spirit through us. In the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 3, 6-7, it says, I planted, another guy named Apollos watered, but it is God who gives the growth. All of our spiritual life, from when we are being called to him before knowing him, putting our faith in him, and every moment of our sanctification in Christ, is the work and power of the Holy Spirit. Just another reminder to take that load off of yourself, because I know a lot of people in here might have someone that comes to mind who they desperately want to be following Christ. And you may even be like beating yourself up because you're like, I'm not doing a good enough job to reach them. I want you to just be encouraged. God is sovereign. God cares a whole lot more about that person than you do. Just keep showing up and being faithful. God will work in the process. Now, that being said, God has placed you exactly where you are and put the people in your life for a reason. I want you to consider one thing I want us to walk away with today from this message is one or a few people that God has put closest to you who are furthest from Him. So who has God put in your life that you might be the closest person to? Or who in your life that you're close to is the furthest from Jesus? That you already have a relationship with, that you already have a life with, and they see you, you know them, you know what's going on. Who is God placed closest to you that is furthest from Him? I pray that the Holy Spirit brings someone to mind and that we have the boldness to go forth from this place and do something, take a step. We're going to talk about just some effective tools for evangelism, effective tools for living out our faith and in this way and joining in the Great Commission. Pastor Brian, I think this was probably a year and a half ago or so, we went through the sermon series about this. It was called BLESS, if you remember that acronym, BLESS. Now, in the seat backs in front of you, there are some bookmarks with that little acronym. They're back from his sermon series, so not everything on there is going to line up exactly, but I think it's a fantastic tool to consider this acronym. So if you think of a couple people in your life or a family down the street that you have a relationship with, that you can make a difference in their life, and that you could be a part of making disciples through your relationship with them, I want you to consider this acronym, BLESS. So the B is begin with prayer. We need to be a praying people. This is true of every area of our life. We need to acknowledge that we are branches in the vine, and everything, every good thing that we can produce in our work, in our families, in our thoughts, in the way we talk, in the way we influence our community, in the sharing of the gospel, in everything we do, we are branches that rely on the energy and work of God in us and through us to produce good things. Begin with prayer, not only for yourself and your heart for that person, but do that. Pray for a hunger for this person to come to know the gospel. Pray for a grave reality of what is true about people who don't believe the gospel. But also pray that God would be working behind the scenes, and trust that. Trust that God is working in them and drawing them to Him, so that when you have those touch points, you are exactly what meets the need that is deep in the longing of their heart, Christ in you. Begin with prayer. The second, L, we're going to add two on here. One is just live it out. L, live it out. Live out the faith. Live out the gospel. Live in a manner worthy of the calling you've received. Do your best in the freedom you have in Christ to live it out. Because when people see you with hope and joy and peace, when they see you go through difficult seasons with joy and hope and peace, they'll see that. The Holy Spirit in you, working through you, will be evident. And they'll see it. So live it out. Not only does that produce a longing in other people's hearts for what every human soul longs for, but it also gives credibility to our witness. When that moment comes to share the gospel, share our story, share what God has done in our life, The way we live will bring credibility to our witness. So begin with prayer, live it out. There's one on there. I think it's listen on yours. I'm just going to get rid of that one. We'll add it in later. All right. Begin with prayer. Live it out. E is eat together and encourage. Be an encouraging person and spend time with them. Invite them over. Practice hospitality. Invite people to your home. Share a meal. Play stupid games. There's this one, I think it's like Poetry for Neanderthals, fantastic evangelism tool. If you've ever played it, you'll know. No, but eat together. Have fun together. Just do life. Invite them into your home and be an encouraging voice in their life. Fourth, S, be a servant. Serve with love. If you see a need in their life, go out of your way to meet it. Do what you can to meet it. Be a servant. Not only will your life lived in practice be visible, but your life lived in Christ will be now reaching out more so to this person's life to see how God can work. And finally, the last one's going to be share. And we're going to use share your story and share the gospel. So share your story. What has God done in your life? What would you say? What is your story? And I would highly encourage thinking through this and praying through this. God, what is my story? What have you done in my life? A, it'll just fill you with joy and encouragement because you'll just remember, oh yeah, God, you did that. Man, I was going through that difficult time and you have brought me through it. I didn't know how I was going to get through that, but you brought me through it. I was feeling so hopeless, but your word filled me with hope. Whatever that might be, take some time to think about that. Pray about that. What has God done in your life? I love the story of the man who was born blind when Jesus heals him in John chapter 9. Love that story. It's so beautiful and also so funny to me. I've been realizing lately just how funny often the Bible is. There's this man who's born blind and Jesus makes mud with spit. He rubs it in this guy's eyes and he tells him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. So like, okay, so he does. And then everyone's like, the man born blind he has sight. What's going on? And so the Jewish authorities, the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day are like, okay, what's going on here? They don't like Jesus and they don't want to hear that he's doing miracles for people. So they're like, what's going on here, man? There's no way this is going on. And so he tells them, okay, this is what happened. He made mud and then he wiped it in my eyes. And then he told me to go and walk to the pool of Siloam. And then I did. And then I could see. And then they're like, well, I don't know. They push back. And he's like, okay, again, he made mud, put it in my eyes. I washed. Now I can see. And they're like, this Jewish man, this Jesus, he's a sinner. There's no way this actually happened. And he's like, okay, look, I just met the guy. I don't know what you're talking about. But what I do know is that Jesus healed me. All he says, he's like, okay, I don't know any of that, but I do know I was blind. Now I can see. That's what I know. And so when we begin these conversations about faith with the people that we want to reach, there's going to be pushback, but our story is undeniable. This is what God's done in my life. I was hopeless and now I have hope. I was addicted and now I'm free. What's your story? What is your story? Are you ready to share the gospel? Because it's a step of faith, but it feels doable, right? To start praying for somebody, start inviting them over maybe for dinner sometime, play some games, break the cornhole boards out. That feels doable. I can do that. I can be encouraging. I can do that. I can maybe serve, maybe go and mow a part of their lawn or something when I've got the mower out, whatever it might be. Like, I could go do that. I could serve. But there will come a time when God prompts you, share your story, get real. Maybe ask, what do you think about God? What's your experience been with church? What do you believe about Jesus? What do you think about sin? You know, the Bible teaches us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the Bible teaches us that the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Are you prepared to share the gospel with someone? So I want to encourage you, take some time to think about that. What story would you share? How would you maybe present the gospel? And are you ready? Is the answer in your heart and mind and soul, yes, Lord, I will do that when the time comes. So I want you to identify that person in your life or people who has God placed close to you that are far from him. And then ask for an opportunity. Ask God for an opportunity. And then take a step. Be praying for them. Invite them to dinner or whatever it might be, a family barbecue, whatever's going on. Find a way to serve. Or maybe it might be time to share your story or share the gospel with them. And last, as we close, I want us to bring us back to just trusting God with the results. It is not within our power. It is not our job to save, but it is our job to be faithful with the opportunities that God puts in our life. Again, I'll just read the words of Jesus in the Great Commission. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Trust in God. And step out in faithfulness. Let's pray. Lord God, it is such, Lord, an honor to come before you this morning. Lord, and to be reminded of the grace we've been given. And Lord, that we have had the gospel shared with us. We have had the example of faithful men and women in our lives. We have seen you, Lord, at work in our lives. Lord, and there is a world full of people who are lost and do not have the freedom that we have, do not know the satisfaction, the contentment that we have in you, Jesus. We do not have joy, hope, and love the way we have those things in you. And Lord, there is a world of people who do not believe in Jesus and who may die in their sin and be forever separated from you, God. Lord, would you light a fire in our hearts to reach our families, our friends, our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bring those people to mind. Give us the boldness to act and trust you, Lord, with the process and with the results. In Jesus' name, amen.